Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there. I'm Mitchell Shiver, lead pastor at Legacy Church, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. No matter where you are, we want to help you connect to Christ, one another, and God's mission. If you're in the Canton, Marietta, or surrounding areas close to one of our physical locations, I want to invite you to join us in person this Sunday. Most importantly, I want you to know that we're here for you. If there's anything we can do or you want to know how to take a next step in your faith journey, please let us know by going to lcga.info.
Hallelujah. Doesn't matter. You matter so much that around 2,000 years ago, the Word became flesh, God Himself walked this earth, and He gave His life for you and for me. So if that's not a God to worship, and give Him all the honor and all the praise this morning, I don't know what it is. So many men attempt to be God, but only one God became man for you and for me. That's why we praise Him. That's why we give Him all the honor and all the worship this morning, because we praise a living God. Welcome to church. We're a celebration today. Every Sunday is a celebration, in case you didn't wonder. You're wearing just perfect. You're dressed just perfect. Because we celebrate our King. We celebrate our Lord. We celebrate our living God. And we celebrate the fact that you and I matter. We all have a question here and there. We've had an ambition of calling young, old, small. We always ask this question. Maybe you asked it a few years ago, a dozen years ago. Maybe you've asked it now. What's my purpose? Is there a purpose for me? Was I created for something? Because when we see ourselves in a mirror, I see myself and I'm like 5'7" in a good day with the right type of shoes, if you know what I'm talking about. Caramel skin color. This is not a tan, sister. This is natural. Is there a purpose for me? I asked myself many years ago when my English wasn't very good looking. It's still not. Going into high school and college, I had the fear of speaking in front of people. Never thought that God had a purpose for me. And maybe you ask the same question yourself. Maybe you haven't found your purpose. But I want to tell you this morning, you have a purpose. You've been designed and created with a purpose. You've been created so unique that regardless how old you are, if you're still breathing, you still have a purpose. Why do we exist is the question of life, the question of the century. The questions about life that scientists, atheists ask themselves is always about origin. Where did we come from? Did we truly come from the monkeys? The meaning of life, the purpose, and of course, destiny. Where are we going after all this? And just like there's an individual purpose, there's also a purpose as a church. The church was established around 2,000 years ago. When Jesus came and walked and the Word became flesh and Emmanuel, God with us, and He established His church. Not a church made by men, but a church established by Jesus Christ Himself. A church that was meant to be beyond the walls. Because He put His Spirit in you, in me. And we are the church. And today I want to talk a little bit about the mission of the church. You see, when we have clarity around the mission, it gives us commitment, it gives us purpose to our calling. You know, I know we all have heard Matthew 28. If I ask if you've been to church, we all know Matthew 28. But anyways, I'm going to repeat it again. I'm going to read it again. And it says, therefore, go and make disciples, all of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Matthew 28, 19, 20. Interesting that it says go. It doesn't say if you want to, maybe, quizás, if you're Spanish. It says go. It is not telling pastors or leaders. It's telling everyone. One of the things that we've grown up church thinking is that, shepherds are the ones who are to produce sheep. But the truth is, if you know anything about farming, which I don't, but something I do know, is that shepherds do not produce sheep. Who produce sheep? Sheep produce sheep. And we all know that Matthew 28 tells us to go and make disciples. But I like what Mark says, because you see, Matthew is reading by a Jew to the Jewish people. So he said, go and make disciples. But Mark, he's not really Jewish. He's really talking to Gentiles. So he adds a little bit of a flavor to the commission. If you know anything about Latinos, we like flavor. But he tells them the same thing, and this one probably is going to be up there, but I want to share with you, because it's the same commission. It says, after he tells them, go and baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak new tongues, they'll pick up snakes and their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They'll place their hands over the sick, and they shall get well. And you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, we're going to pick up snakes? I was asked one time, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I'm like, yes, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So you guys have snakes? I'm like, no, me no snakes. I'm not talking about the church up in the mountain of Kentucky. I'm talking about if something were to happen, like it happened to Paul, there is power within you, God living in you, that it will not harm you when we are fulfilling the mission, when we are fulfilling the Great Commission. He promised to be with us at all times. And today we want to start sharing the mission of Legacy Church. And there's going to be a pop quiz, so you better take notes. But the mission of Legacy Church is connecting people to Christ, to one another, and God's mission. That's easy enough, right? Why do we exist? Why are we here in 1040 Black World Road, Marietta, Georgia? My GPS knows every Sunday. Siri knows where I'm going. I'm preaching to her. I hope she converts one day. But why do we exist here in this place? To connect people to Christ, to connect to one another, and to connect to God's vision and mission. And today, we want to start talking about connecting people to Christ. If there is someone that stands out to me, it's my brother Andrew. You see, in John 1:35-39, because you might ask yourself, how do we connect people to Christ? But in John 1:35 says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, and he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. I love the fact that Jesus himself here on earth, he knew his mission. He knew his vision. Jesus never wasted time. He never wasted a wedding. He never wasted a conversation. He never wasted a dinner. Someone would come at night, Nicodemus, hey, so we know that you're a great teacher. You must be born again. Every conversation, Jesus himself was always connecting people to God. He started his ministry at 30. And in 3 years, he didn't waste a second. He asked questions. He confronted people with the truth. Because he knew the urgency. He knew the importance that it was to connect people to God. You see, Jesus had love for the souls. He became the gateway. He became the bridge to the Father. Jesus being God, he was always connecting to the Father and connecting people to the Father. In 3 years, that's all he did. And I love the fact that the first thing that Andrew said is, you know, when he sees this, he goes and asks, we're going to follow you. He didn't see a miracle. He didn't see a revelation. He just heard John the Baptist said, here, the Lamb of God. And he followed him right away and asked, hey, where are you staying? Show me your crib. I want to see how you're living. Why is John the Baptist saying this about you? Jesus says, come and see. John 1:40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and were following Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to go find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was he brought his brother to Jesus. He didn't keep it to himself. He didn't waste time. He brought his brother to Jesus. And I was thinking to myself as I was reading this, it's interesting that without Andrew, there is no Peter. Without Andrew, there is no 3,000 people converting after Peter preaches. Without Andrew talking to Peter, we don't see the miracles of the shadow of Peter healing. Without Andrew, we can't see Peter preaching. There has to be an Andrew. Is there an Andrew here this morning? Because the truth is, church, we have so many, and I was one of those Christian agents. You know what I'm talking about? That nobody knows you're a Christian except you. And when they ask you, yeah, James, Bond, Christian myself. Nobody knows. Nobody at your school knows. Nobody at work knows. We keep it to ourselves, but he did not keep this to himself. And we have to start this Andrew effect, this urgency to share Jesus. You see, each time Andrew is mentioned in the Bible, he's bringing someone to Jesus. And I know that we say, well, I'm not good at talking to people. You know, I'm shy. I'm timid. I don't have the words. But I've seen the same people that say these words every time they see an offer, every time there's a discount in Macy's. They rush and tell others, you got to go. You got to use this coupon. Hey, have you seen that, you know, the sisters, you know what I'm talking about? Get three for the price of two. That's almost cheap. That's so cheap. They're giving things away. We're so good about branding other things. For the most part, we all wear brands for free. Gucci, Fucci, Luca Prada is nada. They don't pay us. We become ambassadors of these brands. But sometimes we're so shy to share Jesus. What if we start embracing Jesus? What if we start promoting Jesus? What if we start at every environment that you're in? I don't go to your school. I don't go to your job. Probably for a good reason. But you are there. You are the light there. You can be the Bible there. You are so unique that God has placed you in a place like this, in a time like this, for you to share Jesus, for you to be an Andrew. You see, and the thing is, when we think about this, and I know we all here are not great salesmen, might have some marketing directors. But when we say, what do we have to offer? Well, we have to offer the best remedy that we've had for the past 2,000 years. As a matter of fact, since Adam and Eve. You see, we suffer from an illness. We suffer from an illness called sin. And if you and I have encountered the medicine, if you and I know the answer, then why can we not share that answer? The sin that came started with Adam and Eve, the answer has always been Jesus. It would always be Jesus. It has never stopped being Jesus. The truth is, church, people are dying every day. And the truth is, I know that we don't want like to say the H word at church. It's almost like a curse word. Oh, don't say the H word. The truth is there is hell and there is heaven. And the truth, according to the Bible, what the Bible tells me, that if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell. People are going to hell. We have friends, we have brothers and sisters that we love so much, but we don't share Jesus with them. The Bible is clear. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of God. You look at Luke 16, the Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus died, he went to Adam's, to paradise. The rich man died, he went to torment. Everybody needs to hear Jesus. One of the greatest things that I love about this country is also the thing that annoys me so much. That we live in our countries, in this country, in our house, where we respect each other so much. We love our neighbors, but we never talk to them. We don't know what they're going through. I think I shared this with you a few months ago. We were living in an apartment many years ago, and we saw our neighbor, which was right in front of us, like 3 or 5 times. And he was always like, hi, good afternoon, bye, good afternoon. 2 years later, we were moving out, and he saw that we were taking outside. He was like, oh my goodness, you guys are living? You guys were such great neighbors. Never spoke past the hi, how are you? Never share a meal. Never knew about his problems. He didn't know about my problems. But we were such great neighbors. You know why? Because we didn't interfere with his life. Because we didn't say anything to each other. Now, I remember many years ago, especially in our countries, where Christians were annoying. You saw on Sunday, black pants, white shirt maybe. You knew that they were going to church because you've seen that outfit every Sunday. It's always the same other dress, but they had the Bible here. And those people were annoying because they were always inviting you to church. Is there anything I can pray for you, brother? You need to come to church. You need Jesus. To the point that if you weren't Christian, you would see them, you would hide. Because they were so annoying. Church, it's time for us to be annoying again. It's time for us to start sharing Jesus again. If we love our God, and God has done so many things for us, if God has transformed our lives, if we have an encounter with the remedy of our disease, with the remedy of sin, with the remedy of depression, with the remedy of bondage, there are so many people out there that need to hear Jesus. And we need to go back and fall in love with the souls again. On Sunday, like I said at the beginning, we celebrate what God has done throughout the week. But Monday, Tuesday, God is going to open an opportunity for you to share Jesus. You must connect with people far from God. Church, we are called to be participators, not observers. We were called with a purpose. We all have something to give. We all have talents. We all have gifts. Believe it or not, you're unique. I like John 6:8. And as I was reading this yesterday, the Holy Spirit just opened my little brain once again. It says, another of his disciples, Andrew, see, Andrew was always there. Simon's Peter, brother, spoke up. Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But he said, but how far will they go among so many? The Bible says that there was around 5,000 men. You know, men can eat. Plus women and children. Women can eat too. And kids nowadays, Lord have mercy, they can eat. Andrew is seeing at the multitude. The boy says, this is all I have. 5 loaves, 2 small fish. No grouper, no mahi-mahi, no tuna. Because I know you fishermen are already thinking, what kind of fish? And as I was reading this, I was amazed because I felt the Holy Spirit was reminding me. Sometimes we belittle what we have. We belittle our talent. We belittle the gift that God has given us. I can only be at the door. I can only be an usher. I can only be this. But God says, give me the two fish. Give me the five loaves and see what I can do and see how I multiply it. You can only go so far, but only give what you have and God will multiply. You can only feed one or two people, but when God enters the equation, you can feed 5,000 people. I think people were seeing five loaves of bread, two small fish. This can only feed a few handful of people. Jesus was saying, watch me what I can do with what you can give. Watch what I can do with the little. That's what I love the gospel. Because he makes great things of the little. Because he loves to use the low. He loves to use the men and women who were once addicted, who was once in sin, so he can glorify himself and see, look what great things I've done through you. This is the God that we serve. People see where you're from. People see your bank account. People see your profession. People see how you look. People see your age. People see your abilities. God sees your heart. God sees the little. God sees what he can do great things through you. If we can only believe, he will multiply with what you have. John 12:22 says, now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Andrew was not a preacher.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
He was not a miracle man. He was not a teacher. Andrew was simply someone who connected people to Jesus. He was someone who was turning people to Jesus. We must pray daily for opportunities to share your story, to share Jesus. We must turn into a church that connects people to Jesus. The first of Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks of you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. We're going to start small groups soon. Opportunities for people to connect. Opportunities for us to bring people to Christ. There are some people that might not come to church, but if you just open your door and just offer Jesus the little that you have, watch what he can do. Then we can become the annoying neighbors. Then at work, they might not know what you do, but they know that if they're going through a tribulation or a trial, I know someone who prays. I know someone who talks about prayer. I know someone who talks about church. There's going to be a time where in any situation, any environment, a family member, a friend, a coworker is going to go through something, through a tribulation. And the question is, when they need prayer, when they need guidance, when they need support, do they know that they can come to you? Can you be an Andrew? Can you be the one to turn them to Jesus? Can you be the one to invite them to church? Can you be the one to pray for them, to lay hands on them? Can you be the one to help them? A lot of times we don't know what we're going to say, and we say, I'm not a good speaker. I can't talk. I can't preach. I don't know the Bible very much. Trust me, we've all been there. We all taught, we all preach, you know, and at the beginning, you put Moses in the ark, and you put, you know, Noah opening the Red Sea, but it's okay. Some of you didn't get the joke, it's okay. So it's like, yeah, Moses, yeah, he was up in the ark, yeah, hallelujah. But this is what I say to you. Start with your testimony. No one can tell your own story better than you. There's a before and after. There's a before Jesus story, and there's an after Jesus story. Every time somebody's going to teach and preach, and I don't know what to say, start with your story. Tell your testimony. Talk about what God has done in your life. Talk about what He is doing in you and through you. And we see that throughout the Bible all the time. I want to share just a few instances, but the Samaritan woman in John 4. We see that Jews and Samaritans, you know, it's like the South and the North, if you know what I'm talking about. They didn't really talk, but Jesus goes out of His way to go to Samaritan and talk to this woman. And you guys know the story. He asked for water, and they go back and forth. But Jesus comes and tells her the truth. Call up your husband. She's like, is he reading my Instagram feed? Did he check my last Facebook from a couple years ago? Because my profile was with another man. He was no Facebook prophet. He was a real prophet. He tells him, She's like, I don't have a husband. You're saying the truth because you've had 5 husbands, and the one that you're with, he ain't your husband, girl. What I love about this story, the Samaritan woman doesn't feel ashamed. She's like, who told you? She gets impacted by the revelation that God has given her. To the point that if you keep reading, the Bible says that she leaves her jar and she goes away to town. Maybe with a Bible, maybe without a Bible, but she was saying, I know a man who told me everything. I know a man who told me the truth. I know a man who I think he's the Messiah. And the Bible says that she convinces men from the town, brings them back to Jesus. And if you keep reading the story, a woman without name, a woman without a prayer history, who was not serving, who didn't have a title, who didn't have a position at church, all of a sudden impacted her culture. Because the Bible says that she brought many people from the town, and many Samaritans people believe in Jesus because of this woman. You don't need a title. You don't need a position. All you need to do is tell the experience, tell what Jesus has done in you and through you. We have a demon-possessed man. A Gerasene man. You see that in Luke 8. The Bible tells us that Jesus was in Galilee, and all of a sudden they see this little island and town, and they go across. And all of a sudden there's a demon-possessed man, naked, who was living in tombs. The Bible says that he was chained to his hands, chained to his feet. A pastor, a preacher nowadays would be like, I don't believe in demons, and you just keep walking. But Jesus never wasted time. He cared for everyone. And the Bible says that as soon as he sees the demon-possessed starts screaming and comes, bows down, and Jesus starts talking to him. And you know the story. Long story short, he prays for him, delivers him. He breaks the chains. He gives him his purpose back. He goes back to normality. And all of a sudden, even though other people were scared of what happened, the demon-possessed man who now is set free, who now is a man intended for what God created him for, says, let me follow you. Let me follow you. And I love Jesus' response, because he says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Can you imagine his preach? I was demon possessed. I was naked. I used to live in tombs. I was in chains, but Jesus set me free. I don't know the man, but I know he set me free. I don't know the religion, but Jesus set me free. Became the first preacher in that area because he just was telling his story. He was no preacher, man. He didn't go to doctor school, the Bible says. He didn't go take a theology, get ordained. He was just preaching his experience with Jesus. What about the Apostle Paul, who persecuted Christians? But everywhere he went, he told his story. You can see him. He didn't waste time. As I was going to Damascus, I saw a bright light. I was knocked out of my horse, and I was blinded for 3 days. And I heard, Lord, Lord, and I cried out. And everywhere he went, he told his story. To the point that he writes almost half of the New Testament. That one of the verses that I love, that he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it's powerful salvation. I didn't come to you with arguments or philosophies. I came to you with the power of the Holy Spirit. He knew the law. He knew the word. But you see, experiences, miracles can only take you so far. But when you encounter Jesus, when Jesus comes into the equation, things change. There are so many men in the Bible. 10 blind men are healed. Only one comes back. And he tells them, I don't know who he is. I don't know if he's the Messiah or not. All that I know is that I was blind and now I can see. That was his message. That was his preaching. So many people in the Bible. And that is my story. Many years ago, around 13 years ago, knowing Christ, I fell far. I was a sinner. I was a procrastinator. I was everything that you can think of. Even though I knew God, I was like the prodigal son. Went to the point that I hit bottom once again. And I asked God for one last chance. I said, God, I don't know what you have for me. I don't know. I don't know the talents. I don't know what I've been called for. I have these insecurities about myself. I can't talk in front of people. I don't fit in many areas of the culture. But if you have me, and I can tell you that statistics were saying one thing. You see, because when you're missing a dad in the house, statistics say that you're going to end up in drugs, you're going to end up in jail, you're going to end up with anxiety issues, with daddy issues. And that is the message that I preach every Sunday. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of second chances. God is a God of opportunities. God is the same God of yesterday, of today, and forever. And 13 years ago, God gave me another chance, another opportunity. I haven't looked back since, but he told me, remind my church that I am the same God. Remind my church that I am the same God of grace, the same God of mercy, but the same God of holiness. Remind my church that my decrees are the same, the law is the same, that I'm still opening eyes, that I still work in miracles, that I'm still saving people, that there is still power in the word, there is still power in the blood, there is still power in salvation. Remind the church. And that's my testimony. I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, now I can see. I know the God of mercy. I know the God of second chances. I know the God of miracles. That is my preach. That is my passion. That is my belief. That's what I'm here this morning. That's why I'm not going to stop reminding people. This is what he's done in me. This is what he can do in you. It's just my story. And the things that he can do. But in order for us to be able to connect people to Christ, in order for us to be able to draw people to Christ, we must connect with Jesus personally. We must have an encounter with him first. You see, church, the only thing that we can take after we die is the people that we talk to Christ about. We can't take anything. But the only thing we can take is the people that we preach to. Brother, don't stay. There is a solution for sin. But we must connect with Jesus personally. We cannot share what we don't treasure. Miracles, experiences can only take you so far. This message, you probably go home talking about, oh, look how he bad he preached. Oh, he said this, he that. You talk about it the rest of the day. But tomorrow, the experience is not enough. Tomorrow, you have to encounter Jesus yourself. Tuesday, you have to encounter Jesus yourself. Wednesday, you have to come to Jesus yourself. You see, when we encounter Jesus, it changes the course of our life. It impacts eternity. I love the word of God when you read, and Jesus turned around. Because when Jesus turns around, miracles happen. When Jesus turns around, bondages are broken. Chains are broken. When Jesus turns around, eyes are open. When Jesus turns around, oh, he shakes the temptation. He shakes everything in you. When Jesus turns around, hell trembles. When Jesus turns around, things happen. Jesus is turning around today, this morning. And he's telling you, I created you with a purpose. There's a plan for you. And you might say, I don't know what to do. I don't know. I don't have the skills. I don't have. And he's saying, give me your five loaves. Give me your two small fishes. And look what I can do. God is calling us this morning to unite with him on his vision and mission of the church. God needs all of us. There is things that only you can do. There's people that only you can talk to. From the youngest to the oldest. Thirteen years ago, I asked Jesus, use me if you want. If you want, I'm here. Use my voice, even though I told him, why did you give me this voice? Because when I hear myself, I'm like, Lord, have mercy. Use this talent. Use my failures. Because I will always give you all the honor and all the glory. And he's asking you today, what do you want? There's nothing greater than to do his work. There's nothing greater than to be in the kingdom and work for King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have to warn you, people will fail you. Pastors will fail you. I will fail you. Leaders will fail you. God will never fail you. And there's nothing that you do here on earth that God doesn't see. I'm inspired by men and women from this church. From my grandmother, who's here every Sunday to make sure that we have the elements. Many people don't know that, but she's connecting people to Christ by serving. To my brother, Ed, who if you don't know, he's the first one here, opens the church, water the plants. So if you see pretty plants over there, it's because of him. Make sure he's in the sound, which we didn't know. On Sunday night, he comes back to church to make sure that everything is locked and everything is turned off. He's giving his five loaves and two fishes, connecting people to Christ. From the brothers and sisters that when we come in, they're filled with the Holy Spirit with a big smile. Welcome you. From the system, from the media, make sure we have slides and rush into this preacher that goes all over the place. From the worship team, preparing everything during the week. Give, what are your five loaves? What are your two fishes? Because God say, I will multiply and I will bless. Don't belittle your talents. Don't belittle what you have. God has called you with a purpose. And this morning, I want us to pray united as one church. For us to fulfill the purpose as a church that we have here in Marietta, Georgia. For the enemy to know that we are standing here as a church that we worship Jesus. That every Sunday we proclaim the name of Jesus. That we claim the blood and we remind the devil, the world, that there is still power in his word. That there is still power in the blood of Jesus. That there is still power in the name of Jesus. And that he's still saving. And that he's still a God of power. And that he's still a God of miracles. And he's not done yet. And he will use you and he will use me for his glory and his name. As the worship team comes up, I want to ask you if we can stand up. And they're in your lines where you are. if we could hold hands. One of the last prayers of Jesus says, I pray for them to be one, just like I am one with you, Father. I'm here to remind you, you've been called with a purpose. Don't belittle what God has given you. God wants to use you mightily. There is no greater man. There is no great man. We're all fallen men, low men, that we have a great God. And in the eyes of God, the person who opens the door and the person who preaches is the same. So don't belittle what you have. So as we pray this morning, united as a church, for the vision that God has given us, for us to fulfill the purpose that we have here in 1040 Black Road Road, I pray in the name of Jesus that with the infilling of the Holy Spirit, for Him to start reminding you right now that you are loved, that you were created with a purpose, that God wants to use you mightily, that you have gifts, that you have talents, to remind you that with the little He can do much. To remind you that there is such a privilege to be called the Church of Christ. That He's with us and He's for us. Heavenly Father, I pray, we pray united to You. For You to pour out Your Holy Spirit to our church. Start with me, start with us. For us to be a church that connects people to Christ. For us not to be ashamed of the gospel, because it's powerful salvation. We ask You in unity this morning to help us fulfill Your vision, Your great commission, oh God, to preach to the nations, to make disciples, to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Give us the words, give us the boldness, give us Your Holy Spirit. That we are the church here that You establish in Marietta, that preaches the truth, that doesn't lean, that stands on Your word. We thank You, God. We acknowledge You as our Lord and Savior. And we give You all the honor and all the glory this morning. We exalt Your holy name, God. Thank You for Your presence. Use us, God. Use us, Father. Thank You. In the name of Jesus, amen.